So that's a good one. How many of you dads have used that one before? All right, if you haven't raised your hand, I'm sure it will be raised soon. I go into my granddad. Now, this one's pretty unique. I'd go to granddad and say, "Granddad, did you get a haircut?" Granddad'd say, "No, I just washed it and it shrunk." So that's a good one. Hadn't used that one. You're free to use that one. I'm sure granddaddy wouldn't mind. One dad, he said essential oils are used to fry onion rings, wings, and french fries. All other oils are non-essential. Brother Tom always has a food statement. There was mine right there. Oh, speaking of local food, okay, I moved here 12 years ago, and I remember the first time I heard somebody say it, I said, hey, you want anything to eat? And they said, no, I'll just go get some nabs. I thought, nabs? Man, that sounds good. It sounds like something I really would like to try to eat. And they came out with, like, cheese and peanut butter crackers. That is the most disappointing thing, biggest disappointment of my life. If you're going to eat them, at least you got to have the cream cheese and chives ones. Now I'm talking about those are the real deal. Off topic, sorry about that. But dads, they love to give advice. My dad's famous line every time I'm getting ready to leave or randomly mix into phone calls is, "Have you changed your oil lately?" Dads, any dads in here ask that question? Changed your oil lately? Okay, that's good. Christian's dad, his question is always, "Have you changed the furnace filter lately?" He'll come from Georgia, he'll drive up, and he'll have a pack of filters for us. So, I mean, he takes that very seriously. And used to, when my dad would say, "Hey, have you changed your oil lately?" It would annoy me. I'll just be honest with you. Like, "Oh, you don't trust me to change my oil?" But recently, I've learned to be thankful for that advice. As I've had kids, as I've moved forward, as I've grown up, I've learned to be very thankful for the care of my dad. I've learned to be very thankful for advice or even critiques that he gives me. Recently, we moved into a new house, and I'm constantly working on things. And I see that there's something I want to fix, so what do? I call my dad. "Hey, what tool do I need for this? What do you think about this? How would you approach this situation?" And like all dads, he always has an answer. Very thankful for that. Daddy was a mechanic several years ago, and the other day I called him with a mechanical problem, and he didn't answer, which is pretty rare. Usually my dad answers, and he immediately called me back, and he said, "I'm so sorry. What'd you need? I was on the phone with your sister answering a mechanical question." He's always doing things. I'm thankful for the legacy that a godly man can leave. Amen. Several weeks ago, we were home, and just before we got ready to come back, I looked up, and I saw my dad, and I saw my son. I've got a picture here for you I want you to see. There he is. There's my dad checking my oil. And there's Luke looking over the hood there. There's Luke wanting to see what's going on. And you see right there the legacy that not only a dad but a grandfather can leave. And I'm very thankful for that. I thought that picture really summed up that relationship. In the book of Proverbs, we find that Solomon constantly refers to his son. 26 times at least he uses the phrase, "my son." It's a book written to help his son. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. And he says this, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Tonight I'd like to learn several lessons from the advice that Solomon gave his son. As we look at this title, Fatherly Advice, let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We thank you so much for your love. Lord, I'm thankful tonight for you as my heavenly Father. Lord, that you love me and that you care for me and that you meet my needs. Thankful tonight for my dad, Lord, and for what he means in my life, Lord. I'm thankful for each dad in here. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be to my kids what my dad has been to me. Lord, that I'd have the legacy that he has. Lord, that I'd be the example that I should be. Lord, I sure am thankful tonight for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the book of Proverbs, as I noted, Solomon is talking to his son. My son, my son, my son. He's giving advice that I believe that all dads should give to their children. The first thing we see tonight is he advised about friendships. He told them, first of all, who to avoid. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 10, he said this, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." He had advice for his son. He told him what friends he needed to stay away from, the people that he needed to guard himself against. And by the way, moms and dads in here tonight, that is true for you as well. You need to see, you need to determine the friends that your children need to have and put a hedge around them. Guard them. There is nothing wrong with sheltering your children. The world likes to act like everything is wrong with that. And they like to act like it's horrible to do that. Can I tell you, protect your kids. Be thankful for the kids that God has given you and protect them. He told them who to avoid. Then he told him who to befriend. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. If you can't turn there, I'll just read it for you. He says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. He told them to avoid people who would cause contention, avoid people who would cause strife, avoid people who would get you in trouble, but find friends who would build you up. That is great advice if you're in here today. Find friends who will build you up, who will sharpen you, who will move you into continuing to be the person that God wants you to be. And then he told them how to get and keep friends. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must do what? Show himself friendly. He is teaching his son how to get friends. This maybe you could say the book of Proverbs is the first version of how to win friends and influence people. He's telling him godly advice for meeting people and friendships. Then we see that he advised about relationships. He advised about relationships, particularly the type of spouse that his son would marry. He tells again who to avoid. At least 20 times in Proverbs, or 21 times in Proverbs, Solomon warns his son about getting the wrong kind of spouse. Moms and dads, that is vitally important. Help your child pick what God has for them. Teach them to avoid. Teach them who to find. And he refers to several types of women. He refers to a contentious woman, an adulterous woman, a strange woman, a brawling woman. That definitely seems like somebody you would want to look out for. An angry woman. Sounds pretty rough. A foolish woman and an evil woman and other titles as well. He tells him who he is to avoid. Parents, can I tell you tonight that whether your children seem thankful for it or not, keep advising them in spiritual things. Keep telling them God's, keep giving them God's word. Keep trying to help them find God's path for their life. And Solomon is telling his son, avoid these types of people. Avoid these types of people as a spouse, as a friend. Move in the right direction. He teaches them who to find. On the flip side, he tells his son the kind of spouse you do want. Proverbs 11:16, he says, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Proverbs 12:4, he says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs 31 is devoted entirely to the value of a virtuous woman. He tells him, this is who you need to marry. This is what you need to attain to. I remember as a kid, my parents praying for my spouse. Very thankful for that. Very thankful because without their prayers, where would I be? Very thankful for that guidance. And by the way, you know what I do right now, even though I have a 2- and a 4-year-old? I pray for the spouse of my children. I don't know who they are. They may not even be born yet. But I'm praying that God would protect them and that God would lead them in the right path and that God would help my children to find God's will for their life and be who they need to be. Solomon advised his son about relationships. He then advised him, number three, about his relationship with God. Proverbs chapter 3 is one of the most well-known proverbs. And he says in verse number 1 of Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. He says, if you obey me, if you move forward in doing the things that you should do, things will go well in your life. He goes on in verse 5 to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He advised him about his relationship with God. He tells him, if you follow God, everything will be okay. Do you want what's best for your child tonight? Are you willing to tell him to follow God's paths and to mean it? Solomon wanted his son to be a godly man. He wanted his son to be somebody who went out into the world and made a difference. And I hope tonight that whether you're the parent of a child that hasn't even been born, or you're the parent of a 70-year-old tonight, that your desire for your children is still that they would follow the paths of God. Still that they would be who God wants them to be. Still that they would be a godly person. Parents, keep pushing your children to be who God wants them to be. If your children are still at home, read the Bible with them every day. Pray with them every day. Show them the path that they should follow. I remember back about November, we began to pray about several very specific needs in our family. One is we prayed that we really had a desire to move to be in a location that would work for our family, to be closer to the church here, to be in a place where we can have teenagers over. So we began to pray for a new house. We also began to pray for a new vehicle. My vehicle was starting to rack up miles, and we began to pray that God would provide us a new vehicle. Emmy had a specific prayer request. She had this little toy castle. When I say a toy castle, it's that pop-up type of castle that, you know, I'm too big to fit into, but kids can get in. You know what I'm talking about? I have to get into it to put it up, and it doesn't go very well as I try to get my way out of it. Well, our prayer request, and Emmy's very specific prayer request every night, was, Lord, pray that we would have a new house. This sounds like a very selfish prayer request when you hear it. Pray that we would have a new car, and I pray that I would get a new castle. And every night, without fail, Lord, I pray that you give us a new house, and I pray that you give us, she was actually praying for a new van, and Lord, I pray that you give me a new castle. And night after night after night, she prayed that. I remember as we found out that we had a contract offer on our house. We said, keep praying, keep praying. And then our house sold, and then God led us to the right house. And before we knew it, those prayers were being answered. I remember the day that I was on the way home from work, and somebody rear-ended me. And you know, when somebody rear-ends you in your car, you're not going, oh man, this is great. What an amazing day. But you know what God did through that accident? He provided a new to us vehicle. And then as we moved into our house, Emmy got her castle. And you say, those are just normal things of life. But you don't understand. Those were specific requests that we prayed for as a family. And God answered those requests, even to the point of paying for my new vehicle, almost to the penny. What you don't understand is our God answers prayers tonight. And your kids will never know that God answers prayers if you don't pray with them. If you don't demonstrate that God answers prayers. And I'm thankful tonight that we have a prayer answering God. Solomon taught his children about relationships. Wow, that's really loud. Solomon taught his children about moving forward spiritually. And then Solomon advised his children, his son, about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, Solomon begins to open up. He begins to introduce this book. And Solomon says this in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. So he's telling who his dad is as he's talking to his son, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He says the reason that he's writing this book is so that his son would have understanding, that his son would have wisdom, that his son would have knowledge. How do you begin to share knowledge with your children? How do you make them wise? I can tell you tonight how to have the wisest child ever. Teach them about God. Teach them about the importance of his book. Teach them about the importance of prayer. Teach them to fear God. Verse 70, he tells them how to get on the track to knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. He tells them, if you want to go forward in your life, learn from your parents, but more importantly, get the fear of God in your heart, search for wisdom, and go forward from there. Throughout the book, he tells his son, fear God, fear God, fear God. Can I tell you tonight, parents, if you raise your children to fear God, they'll be wise. In Proverbs 4:11 and 12,
Solomon says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Can you as a parent make that same statement? I've taught thee in the path of wisdom. I led thee in the right paths. And can you say that based on what I'm teaching you, if you'll follow these commandments, you will not fail? The love that Solomon has for his son throughout this book is amazing. And the way he taught his son is amazing. I mean, you think about it. He loved his son so much, he wrote an entire book teaching his son how to live. I want to encourage you tonight to teach your children the right way. When we read our Bibles, we find out what happens when we teach our children one thing, though, and live a completely different life. Parent, can I tell you tonight that where you lead, your children will follow? Hey, anybody who's parented a child who's beginning to walk has at some point looked and you've seen your child in your shoes that are much too big for them, and they're walking in your shoes. That is a constant reminder, as I see that on several times a week basis, that my kids will follow where I go. They will take my shoes and they will go in the path that I lead them in. And we find that the same is true with Solomon. Solomon loved his son. Solomon advised his son. Solomon did everything early on that seemed to be right. When we go back to our text in Proverbs 23:26, listen again to these words. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Well, if you know anything about the life of Solomon, you know that Solomon didn't stay in those ways. You know that Solomon did follow the steps of his father. And when we look at the life of Solomon, we don't find a man who always obeyed God. At the beginning of my message tonight, I only gave you half of my title. Fatherly advice was great. But tonight, we're looking at fatherly advice from a failed father. We're looking at a man who started right, who had everything that a person would possibly want, but crashed and burned as a dad. We look at his life, we see how much he messed up. I'm thankful when I look at the Bible that it does not gloss over the sins of the saints. It broadcasts them before us as a loud warning not to fall into the same trap they fell into. And when we look at the life of Solomon, let it be a lesson to us that you might start right, but you also need to finish right. What you teach now, you need to continue to live out. You need to continue to move forward with. I found out several weeks ago that if Pastor was not able to make it, that I'd be preaching this night, and I'd been reading through Proverbs, and I noticed that phrase, my son, my son, my son, my son, and then I looked back at the life of Solomon and thought, he failed. He didn't end up being the dad that he needed to be. He didn't end up being the example that he needed to be. Dad, mom, grandparent, what you teach your children and grandchildren and those around you is important, but keep living. Don't give up. Don't just advise. Live that life. We know that Solomon, when we look at his life, was the son of David and Bathsheba. We know that when David sinned with Bathsheba, the baby there died, but after David got right with God, another baby was sent. That baby that was born, his name was Solomon. Solomon would grow up in that household. And we know that David is a man after God's own heart. David messed up, but David got right. David had a heart for God. David was actually ashamed. David said, how is it that I have a nice house, but God doesn't have a nice house? God doesn't have a temple. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David expresses this desire. But God won't let David build the temple there because David is a man of war. David has shed blood, and God said, let's wait and let's let Solomon do it. But God did give him a way to contribute to the temple. So in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 5, the Bible says, all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. This is David talking. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of my kingdom, of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. So David begins to collect the materials for the temple. He supplies the plans for the temple. He gives Solomon godly advice. And in 1 Kings 1 and 2, we find the coronation of Solomon, and we find David begins to give Solomon advice. 1 Kings chapter 2, we'll be in 1 Kings for the most of the rest of the service. He says this, "Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." Hey, by the way, more dads today need to tell their kids, their sons, be a man. Be a man. If there's one thing that we're lacking in our society, it is godly men. Masculinity is not toxic. Bad people are toxic. Teach your son to be a man. He says, "Show thyself a man and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." David is telling Solomon the same thing Solomon would tell his son. Follow the path of God and everything will be okay. "That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying," listen to what he told David, "if thy children take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel." God had told David, "David, as long as you follow me, your kingdom will be okay. David, as long as your descendants follow me, your descendants will be okay. And as long as they continue to follow me, they'll sit on the throne in Jerusalem." When we learn about the life of Solomon and Solomon's son, we know that that didn't happen because they didn't follow the will of God. David told Solomon that to keep moving forward, and as long as he followed God's will for his life, he would be okay. Well, David finally passes off the scene. Solomon is the new king. You think about Solomon's great start. I mean, you think the guy whose house he grew up in was the man after God's own heart. He was the sweet singer of Israel. He was the king who God loved. If anybody had a great start, it was Solomon. And there he is. He's on the king. He's on the throne as the king. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, we find this statement. "And Solomon loved the Lord." Solomon had a great start. He loved God. He was now a king. And we find it continues, "Walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar." We find here that Solomon says, "God, I love you so much, I'm not going to sacrifice one sacrifice. I'm not going to sacrifice 10 sacrifices. I'm not going to sacrifice 100 sacrifices. God, I love you so much, I'm going to sacrifice 1,000 sacrifices." That guy loved God. I mean, we look and say, man, this is incredible. We find that Solomon was off to a great start. He was born from the house of David. He was taught to live right. He feared God. He loved God. And that night after offering 1,000 sacrifices, God came to Solomon in a dream and said, "Solomon, anything you want, because of the legacy of your father David, I'll give it to you." Put yourself in those shoes. If you could have anything you want, what would it be? We see that Solomon is a man who loves God. Solomon is a man who knows what's right. And Solomon says, "God, I'm just a baby," he says. "I'm just a child. God, I need your wisdom." By the way, that should be the prayer of our hearts. "God, I don't know what I'm doing in life. God, I need your help in life. God, if you'll just give me wisdom to get through this life, everything will be okay." By the way, that's true. God said, "I tell you what, Solomon, because of your great request, not only will I give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches." And Solomon is not only the wisest man that had ever been and the wisest man since then, Solomon's the richest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. Solomon had anything that he could ever want. And so we've learned about the great steps that Solomon took to raise his son. Now we're going to see the great steps that led to the downfall of Solomon and the kingdom. The first thing we see here is that he lost his reliance on God. Someone said an unguarded strength is a double weakness. What talent is it that God's given you? What ability has God given you? What financially has God given you? Are you willing to give those things back to him? Are you willing to be with what God gave you, what he wants you to be? So often that's not what we do at all. We take, if it's something more that we want, we take it and we hide it and we possess it ourselves and rarely give it back to God. And we find that what Solomon did is God gave Solomon wisdom and he gave him riches. And instead of relying on God, Solomon relied on his riches. Solomon had advice for his son. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. The only problem with Solomon's advice to his son is he didn't follow it. Can I tell you what leads to the downfall of relationships? Do as I say, not as I do. Can I tell you, Dad, that tonight if you're a hypocrite in your home, your child sees that. They know that. You probably have a very tempestuous future ahead of you. That's not an exciting thought. That's not something that anybody wants to admit to. But we see that's exactly what happened in the life of Solomon. The thought process is exactly what God told Solomon he would end up. If you follow me, everything's going to be okay. But if you don't follow me, you're going to end up leading to a life of destruction. He left the wisdom that God gave him and began to follow the world's wisdom. Solomon's wisdom was never more on display than in 1 Kings chapter 3. God had just told him, wisdom is what I'm going to give you. And he sat on the throne and two women came in. One of them had lost their baby in the night, and both women were coming in. Each woman had a baby. Both women were coming in saying that the live baby was their baby. I don't have to go very deep in rehearsing the story. I think most of us would know it, but both women are saying that living baby is their baby, and finally Solomon says, here's what we'll do. We'll cut the living baby in half, and each woman can have a half of it. Doesn't sound like a great plan at all, does it? But through that, the real mother's revealed. And the entire nation, it says in the end of 1 Kings chapter 3, looks at Solomon and says, this guy has got some wisdom from God. So what happens is as long as Solomon is relying on the wisdom of God, Solomon is a wise man. But when Solomon, the wisest man who had ever lived, begins to rely on his own wisdom, Solomon looks like a very unwise man. Can I tell you, as long as you're following God's word, everything's going to be okay. As long as you're following God's wisdom, everything is going to be okay. But it's when we quit following this book and we begin to see what our mind says, and we begin to see what the world has to say, we begin to fail. It's about following God. Solomon's problem was that he wasn't the man that God wanted him to be. Solomon did go on to build that temple, the greatest temple Israel has ever seen. The problem with Solomon, though, is he didn't just use that wealth to build a temple for God. Solomon also used that temple to build, or that money to use to build a house for himself. It was twice as big as the house he had just built for God. You see the difference in Solomon and David. David is ashamed that he has a house and God has no house. Then you see that on the other hand, Solomon not only builds a house for God, but then builds one twice as big for himself. He takes 7 years to complete the temple for God. He takes 13 years to complete the temple for himself. God had immensely blessed Solomon, but Solomon failed to bless God in return. Can I tell you today, don't take advantage of the blessings of God and not bless God in return. We find that it led to the downfall of Solomon. Then we see that his love was divided. He divided his love. I sat down and determined to read through the life of Solomon in preparation for this message. And you read 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2 and 3, and you read on up, and you feel like you're a friend of Solomon. You feel like he's a man who has faults, but he's following God. But when you get to 1 Kings chapter number 11, it all falls apart. You find where he hits the brick wall. In the pride of his old age, Solomon completely forgot God. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonianites, and Hittites. If you know anything about your Old Testament, you know that those are not good people. Those are people God has told them to avoid. Of the nations concerning which the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. So God has told him very directly, if you go after them, you're going to fall. And what did Solomon do? He went after them and he fell. Solomon clave unto these in love. This next sentence is one of the most mind-blowing sentences in the Bible. And he had 700 wives. How in the world? How in the world does a guy do that? He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And what happened? The thing that God said would happen happened. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. I find that Solomon lost his mind. Solomon quit thinking with God's word, began to allow lust and his flesh to control his mind, and before he knew it, he had lost everything that he knew to be true. This was a man that had so much potential, and he wasted it. He just gave it away. Can I tell you, one thing I love about working with teenagers is the potential. I love walking into a room of teenagers and knowing the potential that is in that room. I'm going to tell you what I see happen in so many teenagers' lives is they have potential. They know what's right. They know everything they should do, and they waste it. But every adult in here used to be a teenager too. Every dad in here used to be a teenager too. And you used to have potential. The good news today is that you still do. There's no rule that says once you reach 35, there's no longer potential. Once you reach 65, there's no longer potential. Can I tell you, as long as you're living and breathing, there's still a God in heaven that has a plan for your life. Solomon was old and he wasted it. His love was divided. In Proverbs 5:18, Solomon told his son, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." This is great advice, but Solomon did not follow it. When you read the Song of Solomon, you find that Solomon is exchanging letters with this first love. And when we read this chapter, we find that there are 1,000 women in his life. At this point, does he still even love that first love? I don't know that I can make any kind of argument that he still does. What happened? Solomon's love was divided. Can I tell you, it's extremely likely that nobody in here is chasing 1,000 women. But what are you chasing tonight? What is your dream that you're chasing tonight that is not in the will of God? What is that thing that you have to have that you can't get your mind off of that is keeping you from doing what God wants you to do? Is it a fancier car? Is it a bigger house? Which I do realize is the two things I prayed for at the beginning of this message, okay? I understand that. Can I tell you what you find is if it's always possessions that you're going after, if it's always that next thing that you have to have, you know what you'll do? You'll get that thing and you'll find that you're empty. You'll get to that thing and you'll find that there is no meaning there. And Solomon, who was a man that loved his God and loved his wife and loved his son, before he knows it, finds himself as a man whose love is divided all over the place. Can I tell you what I believe our problem is today as American Christians is our love is divided all over the place. You know what happens if you have to have that house, you have to work more hours. If you have to drive that nicer car, you have to work a little overtime here and there. And before you know it, you're away from your family. They're not getting your attention. Your love is divided and you begin to lose them. See, the more we have, the more problems we have. And before we know it, that love begins to divide and we're no longer what we used to be. We're just a shell of our former selves. Solomon got to the end of his life as the richest man in the world, as the wisest man in the world. And he wrote yet another book, the book of Ecclesiastes. And what does Solomon say? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does that word vanity mean? Empty. Solomon says, I've had it all. I've had all the women. I've had all the money. I've had everything any person in the world could ever want, and I'm empty. I'm broken. I don't have the things that I thought I wanted. It's important tonight that we follow God's word, that we are the person that God wants us to be. Not the person that we want to be, but the person that God wants us to be. And then we see lastly that he destroyed his legacy. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. The Bible says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee. I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but will rend it out of the hand of thy son. He wrote a book to his son. A book of wisdom. My son, do this. My son, do that. And it was all great advice. Now he finds that his legacy is destroyed. Interestingly enough, the only reason he keeps that kingdom during his lifetime, God tells us right here, is because of his father. Because his father was a godly man. Can I tell you, dads, who you are as a father will make or break the future of your family. Hey, give all the good advice you want. Please give advice. But when you fail to keep the advice that you give, it will ruin your family. Solomon had a great start. He had great potential. He had a kingdom. He had wealth. But he wouldn't follow his own advice, and he destroyed what God wanted for his life. The three primary things that Solomon warns his son about in the book of Proverbs is wine, women, and wealth. Well, we know that at least two of those things led to the downfall of Solomon. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, takes over the kingdom at the death of Solomon. Guess what happens? Exactly what God says would happen. The kingdom is divided. The nation of Israel goes into turmoil for back and forth for many, many years. And it all happened because Solomon forgot the advice that he gave to his son. It's important that we're real. It's important that we follow the advice that we give to others. It's important that we follow, most importantly, God's word. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to 20, 30, 40 years down the road, look back and go, I blew it. I messed up. Wasted my life. And I'd say you probably feel the same way. If that's the case, it's not too late to get it right. It's not too late to be who God wants you to be. It's not too late to move forward in the right direction. And that can begin tonight in your heart at the altar. Give fatherly advice, but follow God as you're given that advice. Let's pray. We love you today. We thank you.